Good morning again. We're so honored to be here with you for this last time together. We just feel like we have put you in our hearts, so when we leave, you will go with us. So we hope that's okay with you. Just a reminder, Dan might want to share his little story about being responsible.
I don't want to share that.
I want to. It was so funny. We got in the car and drove down to going to the concert last night, and Chris's whole message was being responsible, and he was so forceful with that. And we do. I find myself, even as I get older, not always as responsible as I ought to be. And we get in the car, and we're driving down there. We get down there, we start to get out, and he says, "Where's my phone?" And I'm like, "I'm not responsible. I don't have your phone." Bless his heart, his phone was right there where we had left it, which is a good thing he ignored it during church, but the bad thing is it was still here in church, so we had to run back up here and get it before it was closed. But I thought, you know what, we all need that reminder, and even more so about God, and being responsible to hide his word in our heart and to be intentional. John Maxwell has a book that we have studied and love to teach about, but it's intentional living, and so that is so applicable to our spiritual growth. And Dan was talking about the having a spiritual plan of growth, but how we have to be intentional, because the world would just take it all away from us. It will steal us from the blessings and the favor that God has put on our lives. So we have to be intentional even to praise him. The scripture says that his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so I have to intentionally put that word in my head, because my nature is not so much that my nature is to look towards the negative instead of looking towards the positive. So I worked on, and I don't know if I can remember all of it, but some of the scripture that I loved memorizing, it was in the King James, it starts with, because it says bless, and I just love that word. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, and forget not all his benefits. Now, I'll tell you what, a little tip here. If you will put that in personal pronoun, and you will apply it directly to you, it's going to get your attention just a little bit better. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all my sins? Come on. Who heals all my diseases? Who has redeemed my life from the pit? Who fills my life with loving kindness and tender mercies? Amen? So when you just apply that to you, what a different effect that has on your soul. Because I have to talk to my soul. My soul can get kind of ugly, because my soul is more my mind, my will, and emotions. And I have to remind it belongs to God and let the Holy Spirit make it mark up like it ought to. So I hope that you will remember some. And by the way, my name is Sue, and I'm your friend.
Maybe I could sit down. She was doing pretty good there, right? It's been a delight and a pleasure to be with you the last few days, and thanks to Pastor Larry and Pastor Sean and the CAMA group for inviting us to come. We've certainly enjoyed being able to minister to you. And so my name is Troy, and I'm your friend. It's interesting, when I came in this morning, there were all kinds of people telling me, "Hi, my name is Dan, and I'm your friend." And so if you forget everything else that happened this weekend, you'll remember that my name is Dan, and that I'm your friend, and the reason I want to be your friend is because I have some things I need to say to you, and I can't say those things unless we're friends, because it may impose on your nature otherwise. And so this morning we want to just kind of wrap things up, and I've really been praying about the message this morning, and please, let me just say this. You plan, prepare, and then adjust. We're adjusting today. Okay, we had a plan, all the preparation's done. Just go down to the park and you find out about all the preparation that was done. But we're adjusting. How many of you know it's not the planning or the preparing, it's the adjusting that God wants us to do? Amen. Okay, I got three people. I said it's the adjusting God wants us to do and needs us to do, right? Amen. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to John chapter 5. Maybe it's not a Bible, maybe it's an electronic device. That's perfectly okay. So John chapter 5, and I want to read beginning at verse number 1. John chapter 5, verse number 1. So everybody just make this statement with me. Say, "My time." Okay. Look at somebody beside you and tell them, "My time." Look at somebody on the other side and say, "My time." Mm-hmm. Okay. John chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. After this actually refers to the healing of the nobleman's son, which is the actual second miracle at Galilee. The first miracle was actually the turning of the water into the wine. Verse number 2. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda. Bethesda meaning the house of mercy. Everybody say that, house of mercy. Having five porches. Now the five porches is a place of ceremonial washing. It's a place where they prepared the sacrifices of the sheep and they washed them and checked them out. The priest checked to make sure there were no impurities. There was nothing wrong with the sacrifice that was going to be offered to God. Number 3, in these lay a great multitude of sick people. Blind, lame, paralyzed, the King James says withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever the disease he or she had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but when I'm coming, another step down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man took up his bed and walked. Father, I pray now that you'd add your blessing to the reading of the word. Give us a mind to receive, a heart to believe, an ear to hear, and a will to draw near to you this morning in this place. Thank you, Lord, for the diversity that's in this room. Thank you for the young and the old. Thank you, Lord, for the different churches that are represented here. Thank you, Lord, for this community revival. And Lord, may we just declare and decree over this house and over this county and over this city that it is the time for change to be prevalent and take place in this arena, in Jesus' name. And everybody that can agree with that said,
amen. Amen.
Some facts that we need to know, okay? Number 1, the miracles take place after, this particular miracle takes place after what would most certainly be the Feast of the Passover, okay? And the Bible said that Jesus went up, I like that term, he went up to Jerusalem. The word Jerusalem means double peace. Now give me a little room so I can lay some foundation and then I'll get to where I want to be. When I was younger, I used to be like a helicopter. I'd start preaching like a house of fire just right off the bat, jump off the pad. I'm now a 727. I need a little runway to get going. So it's interesting that the setting is a sheep gate. And how many understand that we, all of us, are the sheep of his pasture? Yeah? Okay. And as the sheep of his pasture, there was a gate. The gate was the entrance, the passageway to the city of Jerusalem, or the place of double peace. It's interesting that in this place where the ceremonial washing takes place of the sheep, that there's a healing that's getting ready to take place. Verse number 3 says, in these lay a great multitude. The term used in the scripture when it applies to multitude means it's a number that no one can number. The implication is there were so many sick people around this place that they couldn't begin to count them out and number them. Can I just speak very candidly this morning and tell you that around this community, in this county, in this city, there's a multitude of people that aren't here this morning. There's a lot of sick folk that you know that are family, friends, relatives, neighbors, co-workers that you go to school with that are sick, but they don't realize they're sick. There needs to be a message and a witness to them. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting. See, they're waiting for something to happen that has never happened before. You know why we have the community revival? You know why we're here? It's because we're looking for something to happen that's never happened before. In this community. I mean, you may have had in the past, there may be an experience, but how many know that God's the God of today? Not what happened yesterday, but today and the future and the gathering of these churches and these people coming together on this Sunday is by God's design. Not only is it by God's design, but he has a plan for something bigger and better than you've ever experienced. I got 3 people who believe that and want to buy into it. Let me push on a couple more things. There were the ones that were around the gate. Those were the ones that were least able to help themselves. They were incapable of doing things for themselves, so they needed assistance. They needed help. The Bible says that the Lamb of God paid the price for our healing. Do you still believe that God paid the price for your healing? Now, that's not just physical healing. That can be spiritual healing or the combination thereof. Yes? Okay. So in Isaiah 53 and 5, it tells us, by his stripes we are healed. Yet in the New Testament, in 1 Peter 2 and 24, it tells, by his stripes you were healed. I believe that there needs to be a healing take place within our churches. And that healing needs to begin with the heads of those churches, those pastors and leaders that can come together in agreement and agree that we have more in common. I feel the presence of God in here this morning, so you excuse me if I take a few liberties. We have more in common than we have to disagree about. Why can't we major and focus on the things we have in common rather than things we can't agree on? How can two walk together except they? Thank you. Somebody said it right. Agree. Now, my wife and I have been married 52 years. And I want to tell you, we've had some times of intense fellowship in our house. You're all laughing because you've had the same situation, right? But it's never kept me from loving her. Sometimes I didn't like her. But it never stopped me from loving her. And we've walked together these years in agreement. So what's going on here with Kama? Our brothers and churches walking together in agreement. And it couldn't be premature. It had to be a time for this to take place. You're not hearing what I'm saying to you. There had to be a time for this to take place. It had to be the right time, not just any time. There had to be a time that we came together in one place and in one accord, as Pastor Troy was talking about there, in one accord with one purpose in mind, so God could begin to shift our attitudes. Excuse me, you're not my enemy. My name is Dan, and I'm your friend. I love the word because he talked about the stirring of the water. The stirring of the water, the literal interpretation when it said that the water was stirred meant it was agitated. How many understand what agitation means? Yeah. Some of you think you do, but agitation means it's so shook up you can't determine what's really going on with it. The components are separated. I mean, they're not only separate, but the agitation creates, everybody ready for it, creates blending. It brings all the different parts together in one place and makes one substance out of the many ingredients that you put in. Can I just say that God, over the last couple of days, has been blending and agitating some things. You guys have been praying about it. There's been some blending and things and taking place that we're coming together not as individuals or individual churches, but as one. The scripture said, and Jesus said, I would that all my people might be one. Now, I usually tell people, I have an agitating anointing. I like to stir things up. I've been doing that ever since I was a young man. I like to stir things up, get people talking, because when they start talking, they start releasing certain things, and they can find a place of commonality and ground. The scripture talked about the agitation and said the only requirement was that they had to be the first in the water. After the stirring or the agitation, they had to be the first in order to receive their miracle. This man had been coming to this place obviously a long time. We don't know how long, but if you'll stay with me just a few minutes, I want to jump right in. I understand types and shadows. Spiritual Jerusalem is the church, and there's a place in the spirit where the sheep pass through for cleansing. Bethesda is the house of mercy, which speaks to us of a fivefold ministry. It's a place of dressing and preparation. We need the fivefold ministry. We need the apostles. We need the prophets who point and direct. We need the evangelists who reach outside the walls of the building. Evangelism is not in the church. I know we've taught that for a year. We're going to have an evangelistic message. The evangelism doesn't take place in the church. It takes place outside the church. We've got to get outside the walls of the church. to evangelize properly. And then the ring finger is the love finger. That's the pastor who loves people into the kingdom. And then the teacher, and while it may be the smallest appendage on my hand, see, when I'm talking about the fivefold ministry, it's the hand of God. It's designed by God to touch lives. We need the teacher to help teach and instruct those people who get saved and come in. But in this place where the fivefold ministry is supposed to be in operation, in this area where we have churches and we have people who love God that have been coming and working and now coming together in Greensboro, there's still a bunch of people out here that are sick and infirmed and aren't saved. A great multitude. Now, I'm where I want to be. And I've read this story numerous times, and even preached on it many times. But while I was reading the other day, something jumped out. How many of you love the Word of God? Because you can read it thousands of times, and the thousand and one time you read it, something else comes up. God reveals something you didn't see before. Anybody hear what I'm saying? Yeah, okay. There was a multitude, meaning there was a number that nobody can know, laying there waiting for the angel to stir things up. My desire this morning, and I'm backing away from the stand. My name is Dan, and I'm your friend. And everybody who's been here the last couple of days know that when I say that, I'm getting ready to vaccinate you. My assignment today is to stir you up. I got three people who are happy about it. I'm going this side and talk for a few minutes. My assignment today is to stir you up. Because when you get stirred up, you'll be activated. And in the activation, there becomes application for your situation from the information that you receive. It was a day like any other day. But this day, Jesus showed up. And he doesn't heal everyone. He just heals one. Stay with me now. I trust you do remember that Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I saw the Father do. He is applying what he is doing based on what the Father is saying to him. So, curious to me, what was it that caused him to focus on one man? Everybody say one man. Okay, it could be one woman, but it was one man. Surely there were others there that had been there just as long. Now, he had the infirmity for 38 years, but we don't know how long he'd been coming to the pool, but we know he'd been sick for 38 years, right? And it wasn't his first time there. He'd been there many times before, obviously. So what was it that caused Jesus to focus on this one man? Jesus probably had to walk around people. Maybe even step over people to get to that one man. In this room this morning, you could very easily be that one man or one woman that he showed up today to bring your miracle. Yeah. I don't know if you're sensing what I'm sensing in the room, but the Holy Spirit showed up just a few minutes ago. See, he knows what you need. He knows what you have need of, even before you ask, or the scripture says, even think it. So Jesus got there to get to his assignment. The scripture tells us it was a certain man. Everybody say a certain man. Not just any man. There are several men in this room, but it wasn't just all these men. It was a certain man. Indicating that there was something about this man that separated him from the throngs of others that were laying around this place waiting for the angel of God to show up and stir the waters. He'd had this infirmity 38 years. Let me give you some historical information. I believe in numerology of the scripture. A numerology of the scripture is important because it gives us indications and gives us roadmap for what we need to see and do. I'm not going to give you all of this, but let me just give you the number 38. Three is the number of perfect witness. Two is the number of witness. Three is the number of perfect witness. Eight is the number of new beginnings. So if you combine the three and the eight, you have a perfect witness that there's going to be a new beginning. Oh, come on now, somebody hear me. Wouldn't it be marvelous today in this place while we're sitting here together and the Holy Spirit shows up and he comes to give us a new beginning? And he says, not only am I going to give you a new beginning, but I came for a certain... See, there are churches around the tri-state area. There are churches in Terre Haute. There are churches ahead of you up the road. But wouldn't it be wonderful if today that certain man was the community of Clinton or Vermilion County that God said, that's who I'm assigned to today to make a difference and to bring healing. The first thing I want to tell you that separated this man from all of the others that were there is he kept coming back. He kept coming back. He didn't just come once, and because he didn't get what he wanted, say, I'm never going back again. Sounds like somebody who may have been at our churches, huh? My name is Dan, and I'm your friend. Who can say that perhaps the next time will not be, somebody say, my time? My time. Who can say that the next time might not be?
My time.
I know you've been here many times before. I know that you've experienced God's presence many times before. I know that you've came to the house of God maybe hundreds and perhaps thousands of times, but this could be
my time.
Yeah. Yeah, my day,
my time.
Another thing that separated him from the throngs of others that were there, he was waiting for a certain time. It was a certain man waiting for a
certain time.
Uh-huh. It was this man's
time,
yeah. Though there were many others there, it was his time. Now, in the scripture, time is created in two levels in two different words. One is chronos. Chronos is where we get the word chronometer, okay? It's from minute to minute, second to second, hour to hour, day to day. It's a measurement that we all can agree on. So if I tell this brother here, I'll meet you at 1 o'clock at the park, his 1 o'clock and my 1 o'clock, provided we're on the same time zone, is 1 o'clock, right? And we can agree that that's consistent across the board. That's so we can move in some form of order. But then there's a kairos. The kairos of God is in God's timing. Here it is. On the calendar, it said that fall began on September, whatever it was, a week or so ago. But how many understand that it doesn't matter what the calendar says, fall begins when God says it begins? And so this morning, we wanted to be at the park, but God decided we needed some rain. So it's raining on the outside. I want God to let it rain on the inside. Not just in the building, but in your heart. Let it produce the refreshing that rain brings. I heard Pastor Larry say, we haven't had rain for a while. We're praying it'll be late on the season. Well, God, send the rain. Whenever you want to send it, it's okay with me because I know you have a plan. Now, I must admit to you, I was looking forward to being outside and perspiring profusely in a 90-degree temperature, but I am so thrilled to be in here where the air condition feels so good. Thank you, Pastor Tom, and the folks here for allowing us to come. Say it one more time. It's... I wonder how we would have reacted if we knew that today, or how would you react if you knew today was your time? Of all the other times, of all the other situations and circumstances, if you knew today was your day, could you hang on for 5 more minutes to get to your time? Could you wait 15 more minutes for God to reach across the balconies of heaven and touch you and say, it's your time. You know what? I know that we could. You know what? The other thing I want to say to you is, I'm saying that parenthetically, but I believe he's doing that right now. So, we talk about time, and you know, this is just how my mind works. I can almost hear the Spirit of God saying, you've been carrying that around long enough. You've been dealing with that situation as long as you have to deal with it. You may think you don't have any friends. You may think that nobody cares. But I'm here to tell you today, it's your time. Amen. Today's the day you get rid of all of that. The heaviness, the weightiness, all the persecution that you feel that you suffer. Today's your day. It's your time to walk out of here in freedom and in liberty, to ascend to a higher level, a deeper depth, and a broader place than you've ever been in your entire life. In fact, your life is just going to begin after today. Oh, it's my time. It's my time. See, I'm a little older than some. I met a lady who earlier this morning, who told me she was 90 years old, and I'm going, I want to be like her when I grow up. Because she was alert and she was sharp. And please, what I want to say to you is, your time and your best time is not behind you. Somebody needs to hear me this morning. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what your current circumstances. Your best time is not behind you. Your best time is yet ahead of you. And it's based on your attitude. It's based on your faith. It's based on your desire. It'll be your time. Since he was lying by the pool, it was obvious that someone had to carry him there. He wasn't able to get there by himself. He was incapable of getting there by himself. The third thing I want to tell you that separated him from everybody else is he would not quit. I know you've never looked at yourself as a quitter. Most of us don't want to look at it that way. But can we just be honest? The real truth of the matter is, many times we quit right before our breakthrough. Now, that's not an encouraging word. It's not meant to be an encouraging word. What it is meant to do is to point out that you can't quit. See, if I knew Sean Farley is my friend, if I knew this brother was having trouble and I knew he was going to quit, I'd be on the, in fact, Wendy would call me, guarantee it, and say, Sean is having trouble. Can you talk to him? And then I would talk to him and he'd say, well, did my wife talk to you? And I would change the subject because I don't want him to know his wife talked to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? He's my friend. If I knew that he was getting ready to slow down or quit, I'm going to be in his chili. You know why? Because the reward is to the one who perseveres, who's persistent, who endures to the end. For the same shall be saved. And so, don't stop. Keep persevering. He continued coming to the place. I believe the first reason he came was because he heard about miracles taking place. But I believe he continued coming back because he not only heard about it, but now he's seeing them take place. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. The fourth thing I believe separates him from all others is he had friends and family that agreed with him for his healing. Someone had to carry him to that place. We don't know how long he'd been coming. We just know he'd been coming for a while. And after a few years, it is entirely possible that some of the people who had been carrying him there had passed away. It could have happened. We don't know. But whoever carried him there, somebody said, we can't let this stop. He wants to go. We're going to take him there. I'm my brother's keeper. You know what? You may not have the faith to get there by yourself. You may be struggling with your situation and your circumstances, but let me just see the hands of everybody here who'd be willing to help somebody else get to their time. Come on now. Sure you would. You know why you would? Because you know there's going to come a day when it's going to be your time and you're going to need somebody to help you get to your place. So if we know that's coming, can't we just help people get to their time so we can, excuse me, I want to celebrate with you when you get to your time, and I want to celebrate with you when you get to your time. I want to be able to celebrate with you knowing it's your time and your place for God to do something special for you. Well, can we just get some folks to agree that it may not have happened yet, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Amen.
But you can't stop, you can't quit. Because I really believe that today in this place, Jesus is here right now. It's our time. In fact, in the story, Jesus appeared to be on assignment for this man. I want you to see the visual. There's a multitude of people laying around this pool waiting for the angel to come down. And the angel hasn't shown up yet, but they're just laying there waiting for something to happen. This community is waiting for something to happen. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. I'm sensing this from the top of my head to the sole of my head. In fact, that little hair on the back of my neck you can't see standing up right now. They're waiting for something to happen. And you know what's taking place? This is the happening. The coming together of churches and ministers and groups of people that can lay aside certain things just so we can come into agreement to see our community changed by the power and the glory of God. I want you to see the picture. Multitudes of people laying around, and here's Jesus. He's looking over the crowd as he walks in. Please, he's only doing what he heard the Father do, or saw the Father do. He's only saying what he heard the Father say. He's looking around the crowd, and all of a sudden, as he's looking around the crowd, God points his direction to a certain man. Not just any man, a certain man. So I can see, this is just the way my mind works. Excuse me, my name is Dan, okay? This is just the way my mind works. I can see Jesus saying, I see. He's stepping across people, walking around. He's got to get to his assignment. You see, he's so intent on the assignment that he's not going to allow anything or anybody or any circumstance or any situation to keep him from getting to his assignment. If you're his assignment, the devils out of hell cannot stop him. He's stepping around and stepping over to get to that assignment. You're the assignment today. The scripture tells us in verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in this condition a long time, he said to the man, the certain man, not just any man, but to the certain man, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? So I pose the question to you today. Do you want to be made well? Sure you do. But there's an obligation and responsibility to accept the fact that God can. Can anybody see where we've been going all weekend? So knowing that, it's obvious that it was a rhetorical question because the man wanted to be made well, right? He may have said something like, if I didn't want to be made well, if I didn't want to be healed, why would I keep coming back here? I know some of you are struggling with that. Would you really talk to Jesus that way? Well, I do. He already knows the thoughts and intents of my heart anyway. I might as well just be honest and tell him. God, I think you messed that one up. And then he reminds me that he's still God and I'm not. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying to you. We don't know how long he'd been coming. We just know he'd been coming for a long time. How many understand that the coming to that place is the easy part? It's the waiting that takes its toll on us. It's the waiting for what we want in our time that weighs and is burden to us. Then the man says to Jesus, this is typical, excuse me, of church folk. I are one, so I can talk like this. Remember, my name is, and I'm your friend. Thank you. It's typical of church folk. Because he's saying, you know what? When the angel comes down stirred the water, I would have been healed a long time ago, but I didn't have anybody to help me. See, there are people under the sound of my voice this morning that are waiting for a prophetic word. They're waiting for a pastor to give them counsel. They're waiting for a friend to give them instruction. They're waiting for somebody to take this thing off of their shoulders. And can I just tell you, you might be waiting for that to take place, but the only way it's going to take place when it's your time is to have the assistance of other people. Yes, it's not their fault you didn't get there in time. How many understand that sometimes we process our situation in the wrong way? Yeah? Could it be that today you thought you needed a prophetic word or the preacher? Yeah? Let me jump to number 6 real quickly. I'm going to move through this. I'm almost done. The 6th thing that separates this man from other people was when Jesus spoke to him, he responded correctly. Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the Bible said immediately the man took up his bed and walked. I'm backing up because my name is Dan and I'm your friend. I'm getting ready to vaccinate you again. You are marked by your response or lack thereof. Number 7, things that separated him from others was he had the ability, once God had spoken the word, once Jesus had spoken the word, and he commanded him to pick up his bed and walk, that he took up his bed and began to walk. Even though it was the Sabbath, and it was against the law to do that, he wasn't going to follow the rules of the day or the order. He just knew that once he was sick, but today, because he was that man, and it was his time, and he told him to take up his bed, he was going to take it up. Didn't matter what the society said. I talked about it last night for a little bit, but let me just tag on it one more time. We live in a world today where they want to accuse you. They want to sequester your voice as a person of faith. They want you to, dumb it down. And they want you to just accept the fact that you shouldn't mention his name or shouldn't talk about faith or that you shouldn't testify or witness about God. The devil is a liar. I believe that he's still on the throne. I believe he's still well, and he's looking for a church and a people to declare and decree that he's still alive today. You want to change this community? You want to change this area? Then the thing you have to do is say, it's my time. You see, he started carrying what had been carrying him. He dealt with what had been dealing with him. So the very thing that stopped him, the very thing that trapped him, the very thing that tormented him, the pain that he had been in, that thing that had been his constant companion for 38 years, in one moment at one word from Jesus, disappeared. Because it was. The last thing I want to tell you, one of the things again that separated him from all the others was once it was his time and he took up his bed at the commandment of Jesus and walked, that he never again had to return to that place laying by the pool waiting for the moving or the agitation of the water. From that day on, he was, somebody say never.
Never.
Come say it again, never.
Never.
Come on, a little louder, never.
Never.
The same. Because what took place on that day, and because it was his time, he left that day and never had to depend on, I'm going to get real. Never had to depend on anybody else. Never had to revisit the place he'd came from. Never had to look back or look around because it was his time. Let me just say this to you today as honestly and sincerely as I know how. Today is some of y'all's time. You already know that. You sense it in the atmosphere. God's been speaking to you while I've been preaching this morning and letting you know This is not a day like any other day. There's something different about this. You know why it's different? Because it's
my time.
Come on, say it again. If it's your time, it's my
time.
So my question is, what are you waiting for? It's time to take action. It's your time to be free. It's your time to be delivered. It's your time to be healed. It's your time and time for Vermilion County and the tri-state area to be impacted by one church, which is His church. I think I said it on Friday night in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus is speaking and He said, "And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Yeah? So when you as laity in the church, you that are members of the different churches, when you speak about my church, you're speaking about it from a position of relationship, because you have relationship with the people that are in that church. Yet when the pastors in this room start talking about my church, they're speaking about it from a position of stewardship, because God's given them the oversight of that church and that group of people. But when He talks about it, He's talking about it from a position of ownership, because He owns the church. It is His church.
Amen.
Come in here a minute.
Amen.
He doesn't need your permission to do what He wants to do. In fact, He doesn't need your agreement to do what He wants to do. He's God and He can do it. But He chose to use you to be the conduit to flow through to affect the community, the neighbors, the friends, the relatives, and those that are around you. In case you missed the title of the message today, it's my time. It's your time. It's time for a change. Can I get just some kind of agreement from somebody? It's time for a change. And the change that God does is from glory to glory, from level to level. That's the change He wants and expects. If you would slip to the music for me real quickly. Father, I want to thank You this morning for what You're doing in this room. I sense Your presence. I sense Your anointing. God, I know that You're moving on the hearts of men and women and young people. And God, I thank You for what's taking place in this room right now. I thank You, God, for what is taking place in this community. I thank You, Lord, that there's been a spark and an igniting of the fuel that has been put in this place by the pastors and those that are part of the community of Kama. That spark is being kindled today. And that spark is now becoming a flame. And as the flame grows and as they fuel the fire, it'll be easy to see at a distance the light that is illuminated and the warmth that is illuminated by Your church being one. It's our time, and we agree to step into that today. In Jesus' name, amen. As heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. If this message this morning spoke to you, and I know, there's no doubt in my mind, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that God has been dealing with people here today. And that's you, that you feel like this is your time. This is the time that I need to take that step. Could you just raise your hand right now? Let me see that. God bless those hands. God bless those hands going up all over this room. It's time. I'm tired of the same old thing over and over again. Doing the same old thing, expecting a different result. It's time for me to change some things, and I'm ready to change. Come on, get those hands in the air right now. Yeah. I haven't done this the last two nights, but I feel impressed and led to do this morning. If that's you, and it's your time, and you want to step across the precipice of your past and your circumstances into your new day and into your new season, would you just stand to your feet and come forward to the front? I want to pray with you. Would you just come? Pastors, I need you all to come help me. Pastor Sean, Pastor Larry, and some of the others that are part of your ministry team. I don't know all of them. Troy's up here. Pastor Tom. I think I heard you announce another pastor in the back of the room. Any of the pastors that are here, please come help us. Please. Youth pastors. That's, come on, brother. Now, I have a request of you that are still sitting there. These pastors are here. They're going to help us minister. Associate pastors, senior pastors, youth pastors, all you pastors, come on up here in front with us. Come on, all of you. Come on. I appreciate you wanting to take a back seat, but we need you right now. You stay right there. I want you to stay there just for a minute.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then we can come up here. I have a request of you. You're sitting there right now. And when you look at the people standing across the front of this, some of you are touched and moved by what you see. And there's a person standing up here right now that you feel responsibility to want to come and embrace them or just touch them. I want you to get up out of your seat and come and lay your hand on them. Just touch them. Let them know you're there right now. You're there to support them. You're there to encourage them. You're there to stand with them. You're there. Yeah, come on. I know there are some of you that want and feel that right now. So come right ahead. Can I say it this way? They're still coming. Some of you feel like you're alone. You're not in this alone, bro. You're not by yourself. There are people that are standing with you that love you and care for you, that are concerned about your spiritual well-being. You're not by yourself. Now, everyone else in this house, now, if you, come on, step forward toward me just a little bit. There's some people who want to get behind you, all right? So if you would let the people that need to get behind these folks come in. The rest of you stand with us right now. If you would, do me a personal favor. Just stretch your hand this way. And I want to release our ministering brethren. If you feel like you want to just touch someone or pray for someone, please. Feel the free. Hey, brother, I love that. Come on down. Thank you. Stretch your hand this way right now as we begin to pray. Father, these men and women have came forward today acknowledging that it is their time. A season of change. A new order of the day. We're touching and agreeing right now that it is their time for that change to take place. Every principality, every power, every demonic force out of the pits of hell that is trying to deter, distrain, detract, we come against and bind in the name that is above every name. And we declare and decree, it's time.
Yes, Lord.
It's time.
Yes, Lord.
It's time for that change to take place now.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's time. 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 It's been long enough. It's been long enough. And it's time. 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 Leaning on Him. Just lean on Him. Leaning on Jesus. Power. Come on, sing, brother. I'm learning
to lean.
Come on, sing it, brother.
On Jesus.
Come on, sing it, brother. Prophesy to yourself right now. Finding
the power.
Yeah. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Come on, sing it together with us one time. We are learning to lean. Learning to lean. Learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I'll ever need. I'm learning to lean on
Jesus.
Can we sing it one more time? Everybody sing it. Learning. Come on, let it ring through this building. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. Father, we thank you today for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, but most of all what our hearts have experienced. Today is a new day. Today and now is a new season, because it is our time to step into the height and the depth and the breadth of all that you put us on the planet and designed us to do. So today, Lord, we release blessing, we release anointing, we release favor in this next season, that this tri-state area will be impacted by the church, in Jesus' name. And everyone that can agree with that said,
amen.
Amen. Pastor.